You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. PackersTalk.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Card.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
This is Titletown Sound.
Prepare yourself for overwhelming intelligence.
He's going to look like Gronk riding a unicorn carrying a lightsaber.
I know how toast works.
Clay Matthews, squirrel whisperer.
Your squirrel naming game is not strong.
The third cheeseburger could come back.
If one of us wants to pee on it, sure.
I'm not bailing you out on that.
I was acting unprofessionally.
I'm just here to ruin things.
Welcome, everyone, once again to Titletown Sound. It's episode 67, and it's another Jeff Janis edition of the podcast, because why not? Episode 67, and Jeremy Vanderlinden is here. Chris Kristofko is here. And Bobo is here. Yeah, you may have heard them. They're not important. Anyway, on this week's show, I review the movie Beach Fever. We ask if the Green Hornet and Kato ate Kalen, the Black Beauty. Jeremy and Chris discuss whether they just got the two Kato Kalen references that I made in those first two items. And we debate the merits of adding Jeff Janis to the Justice League of America. First things first, though. Let's talk about the game that was the Green Bay Packers and the Arizona Cardinals. And Chris, I'll go to you first. Good to have you here, of course. Really all season, but especially now, as we're all kind of mourning and hugging each other. But let's start by discussing my favorite subject, Jeff Janis. And is he the best Packer on the roster right now? And why is he? Go ahead.
So I think what you're asking, if I can translate Bobo-ese, is after what we saw on Saturday, is Jeff Janis for real? I know your answer. I know that you know, you're ready to put him on the facade at Lambeau Field already.
Absolutely.
Honestly, no, he's not ready. He's still not ready. He was really good at running really fast in a straight line, and I give him credit for coming back for that ball, for the catch on the Hail Mary was fantastic, but those were novelty plays. As a wide receiver, he didn't really show anything in that game that tells you that he's any more ready than he was 3 weeks ago when we knew he wasn't ready. He had a couple of routes that he ran that I don't think they've invented the name for them yet. He'll get there, and with his raw skills and his ability and his speed, he'll be an asset at some point. It just might not be, you know, I mean, maybe next year is the time that he's ready, but at this point, I still don't think he's progressed enough to say that was, you know, yep, that game showed something. No, I mean, that game showed he's quick, and that's great, but he still has some learning to do.
Yeah, I definitely feel better about Janis, but I'm not feeling in any way like Jeff Janis has to be the 1, 2, or 3 on this roster. He's going to be competing for 4 or 5. Like, he's going to be one of those two guys. Expect that. Get comfortable with it, because it's what it needs to be. Jeff Janis he showed some fantastic stuff. And honestly, catching those balls deep downfield was one of the things that I thought he struggled with the most early in the season. It's one of the reasons why they didn't just put him out on the field and run him deep over and over, because he was struggling to do that, and we saw that on film. In this game, he put that together and showed that he can catch the ball deep downfield without a problem. He's got this nasty, crazy physical gift of speed. Fantastic. But he has to be able to catch the ball when he gets down there. So not only is he not very good on running routes, but it took all season for him to prove that he could catch the ball deep downfield, which, before anyone ever trusts you, you have to prove it's something you can do. And every time they tried to do it early in the year, he couldn't do it. Hindsight's 2020. I know a lot of Packer fans are looking back and saying, that the Packers maybe should have played Janis a little more sooner. And I don't disagree in that it would have been nice to get him some game time before the playoffs just for experience sake. But other than that, I don't think that Jeff Janis would have been the thing that saved the season. I still don't believe
that. Oh, no.
You know, and I think a lot of Packer fans are thinking, like, if they would have just played Jeff Janis sooner, the season would have been much different. I don't see it that way. Janis showed some awesome stuff, and it was enjoyable to watch, but I'm going to take it at face value. A lot of fun to watch. We'll see what happens next.
And I think Aberderis is already the more complete receiver, right now at least.
Yeah.
I think he's shown that he can be a wide receiver, not just a run really fast to the stop sign, make a right, you know, and play backyard football kind of guy. So Aberderis, I'm actually more excited about him than I am Janis going into next year.
Well, that's the thing about Janis. That's what they did with him. You said it, backyard football. They played backyard football in a time where they were desperate, which, first of all, I just want to say, Bobbo, I was right. I hate you. You're a jerk. You should have never picked Randall Cobb in fantasy. You almost killed the man. Next year, never, ever. Okay, not just next year, but never, ever pick Randall Cobb in fantasy again. It was all your fault. He almost died. Which brings me back to Jeff Janis. They had to play him. They didn't have a choice. So they played backyard football, and it worked. But do you think they could put that on film and go game in and game out playing backyard football without being completely annihilated? No, absolutely not.
All right, fair enough. If it helps you, I will take full responsibility for Cobb getting hurt, because I have ways of getting Jeff Janis on the field. I didn't want to reveal that during the season.
That's what it was. You were trying to
do have powers. I do have my ways. But in fairness to Jared Aberderis, he did very well as well. And that impressive that the game was as close as it was, as rough as the offense has looked all season. And then all of a sudden Aberderis and Janis go out there and they were getting the job done. It's very encouraging to see. Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers finding those two guys. He was still looking good late in the game, and we can say what we will, but Chris, isn't there something, I don't know what even to call it. It's not intangibles, but isn't there something to having two Hail Mary plays go your way in a season that says you're awesomer than awesome or something?
So the first Hail Mary play was pretty incredible. I mean, the circumstances with the face mask, but on that play, Rodgers got to roll out and wind up, and he had all day to throw, like, you know, throw the perfect pass. This game on Saturday, I don't even think either of his feet were touching the ground when he threw that ball perfectly to Jeff Janis. They were both incredible plays. I mean, Rodgers had to go, what, you know, I think they went like over 100 yards on that final drive because of penalties. And it was incredible. It was a fantastic display of, you know, those who say that he can't make a fourth quarter comeback, stop. Stop. He was incredible. He was Aaron Rodgers that we expected all year. And half of the reason is because he actually had protection. That offensive line was able to hold up. You look at those last two games, when the offensive line was there for him, they were pretty effective games, both against Washington and against the Cardinals. So it was incredible. That play was so, I had written the game off, and I think I woke up, I was actually in a hotel at the time. I think I woke up everyone on my floor when Janis hauled that in. It was amazing. It was fantastic. And if you didn't enjoy that, despite the outcome, if you didn't enjoy, you know, that fourth quarter, I don't know why you watch football, because it was amazing.
Yeah, that game was just awesome. And
yeah,
it sucks that it didn't end in the Packers' favor, but if you're a fan of football in any way, that game was fantastic. Aaron Rodgers was fantastic, especially in those last moments. Rodgers had a weird season of, you know, just not setting his feet, throwing with his upper body a lot, just really strange non-Aaron Rodgers things. And so I hope that next year he gets back to the fundamentals. And maybe part of that is the weird, like, let's have a wide receivers quarterbacks coach combo. Like, if your position coach isn't calling you out enough, you know, or at all even, you're not going to make any changes, or you're not going to change quickly. You know, like he needed a coach this year to be on top of him about the fact that his fundamentals were poor. But in this game, Aaron Rodgers had his best game of the season. But those last two throws in regulation, or those last two passes to Janice, were insane. The second one, though, I don't know that anybody in the league can do that other than Aaron Rodgers.
It was the perfect pass under pressure, off balance, off his feet. It was incredible.
I think the only one out that in the world that could make that pass other than Rodgers is like Uncle Rico. So it's just it's not a thing. That was ridiculous. That was the most ridiculous. And could he do it again? He could maybe get close, but that was perfectly thrown. Probably he hits that, I don't know, I'm going to say 2 times out of 10.
Well,
which is pretty darn good, but I'm just saying. Well, he did it twice this year.
I was going to say, to be fair, he did it 2 times out of 2 this year.
But okay, so he had a touchdown and a Hail Mary 2 times this year. Fair enough. But that play of falling away and throwing the ball that far and that accurate, it's just darn near impossible. I don't know how he did it. He's a freak. He's a freak. He had an off season. Aaron Rodgers will be back with a vengeance next year. And the Packers, I pray to God, will get an actual quarterback's coach and stop messing around with the whatever combo platter they're trying to do.
All right. Speaking of combo platters and people who love them, let's talk about the offensive line. Played pretty well again. And Jeremy, it seemed like the offensive line really got their act together in the playoffs. I guess maybe there was something to the idea that the Packers would put it all together when they really, really needed to. But, I mean, I don't know. Was it the playoffs kind of inspired these guys, or was it just they figured something out at the last second and they realized if we don't play better, we're going to go home early?
Maybe it's a combination of all of those things. I think it really helped to have all of them on the field. Obviously, they're struggling with health issues. Bakhtiari with the ligaments in his ankle. Who else had an issue? I know Josh Sitton played through some injuries this year. And I'm pretty sure TJ Lang is supposed to have shoulder surgery. He played through an injured shoulder. So to have that many guys on your offensive line that banged up. And then not only that, but, you know, Bulaga is always, like, struggling with his knees. So that offensive line played really banged up this year. To have them all back on the field was fantastic. If they were all fully healthy all year long, this season might have looked a lot different. But to have them all in the playoffs together, plus the fact that it was the playoffs, I think it's a combination of things, but I think it was a matter of having all of them on the field at once.
Well, I think that it's simple. Having a left tackle playing left tackle. That was
right.
The difference. And look, Bakhtiari, I've been down with him this year. I don't think he's had a great year, but now we hear that, you know, essentially his leg was held together with gum and, you know, rubber bands. So I don't know how upset we can be with him. But without Bakhtiari in that lineup, they were terrible. They didn't have a solution for backup left tackle. And few teams have a great solution for it, but the Packers really didn't have anything. They just didn't have a design for it. And they threw everything but the kitchen sink at it, and nothing worked. With the exception of, you know, it looks like Treader can fill in there at sometimes. But any other position on the line, I think they could have adequately made up for a game or two here or there. But not having a left tackle was really that was it. And having that line back together, like you said, at least somewhat healthy or at least able to pull it together for a few games, that was all the difference. And that's why Rodgers looked so much better. That's why the offense looked reasonably good. And it's unfortunately, it just wasn't enough.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it sucks. But now we go into next year with that question mark of, is this offensive line going to be what we thought they were going to be this year? I think the potential is definitely there. Look what they did against the Cardinals in the playoffs when they were all dealing with injuries. If they can get back to full health next season and come in healthy and ready to go, this will be one of the best offensive lines in the league. It is what we thought it was. It just didn't happen this year. Packer fans are going to have to remain patient, but I think they're going to be great next year.
All right. Speaking of being great next year, the defense certainly looked pretty decent this year. The rookies on the corners, especially, maturing pretty quickly. Demarius Randall, Jeremy really stepped it up again. He's been how forward are you looking to his career on a scale of 1 to 10? And let's say 10's the highest, because people got confused when I said 7 was the highest last week. But scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for Demarius Randall going forward?
It's got to be a 10. Him and Quentin Rollins, both of them together in tandem. Ted Thompson nailed it. He absolutely nailed it. In the last draft, he was spot on with those two picks. And people hated the Demarius Randall pick. Hated it because he was a safety in college. Like, this pick doesn't make any sense. But look at what happened. If you could do it all over again, I'd say the Packers would do the same exact thing, and I think Packer fans would have them do the same exact thing. Now you got Casey Hayward possibly on his way out the door, and you have these two rookies who played two great seasons. And Demarius Randall, unfortunately, had that just horrible hiccup at the end of the Cardinals game that allowed Larry Fitzgerald to have that big gain and put him in position to score and win. But outside of that moment, he had such a good season. It's really unfortunate that the punctuation he decided to put on the end of his season had to be the one, you know, that ends negatively. Because that's the thing that if I were him, I would have a hard time shaking that, even though I had a great year. That was a terrible play and a terrible moment. Can't have that. But other than that, definitely looking forward to seeing him next year. And it's just, I can't believe those picks. I'm blown away, and I'm really happy with them.
I can't believe that losing Tremont Williams and Devon House would impact the Packers in no way except for a positive way.
Right.
Which is what happened with these rookies coming in playing so well. So, yeah, no, the future for this defense, especially the defensive secondary, is really bright. And I'm excited to see what happens. Like you said, with Randall making a crucial mistake at the end of the game, I don't think it's going to be a problem for him going forward. He's made some pretty bonehead plays, you know, just as a rookie, but seems to have a very short memory and bounces back from them quickly.
Right, and let's not forget there's a guy named Ladarius Gunter also on this team.
There is.
I just want to be clear. His name is not Gunter. It's Gunter. You know this. And he's not Gunter the punter, but if Tim Massey continues to play as poorly as he has, Gunter will have to be the punter because they're going to have to do something.
I'm telling you, next year the punting competition is going to be him and Jeff Janis. Just you wait. So on that note.
Sounds great.
Because Janis is going to get down there and make the tackle too. So it's just easier that way. All right, time for pick three. It's our last pick three of the year.
Oh, bummer.
And I know Chris is just heartbroken over this. Jeremy, do you have your three ready?
I do not, but I'll make my choices anyways. I will take Kurt Warner. I will take who's the guy that caught the touchdown against the Vikings that knocked them out of the playoffs? I'll have that guy, Nate Poole, and Larry Fitzgerald, because why not?
All right, Chris. Your three.
That's a lot to follow up.
That was all off the cuff. I just want to say I know Kurt Warner's an easy name, but that was difficult. That was all off the cuff.
All right. So I will, let's see. Pick three. I will take this is a tough one. I'll take Cardinal Richelieu. It'll be my first choice. I will take Cardinal Mazarin is my second choice, and I'll wrap it up with Pietro Sforza Pallavicino as my third, also a Cardinal.
Okay, yeah, I like that. I like your Cardinal theme. Nobody, like, first-time listeners to the show are so confused right now. They're like, what the hell is happening? Oh, this is great. Okay, Babo.
Yeah, and I didn't mention beforehand this was supposed to be current Arizona Cardinals that would be added to the Packers roster, but you know, since we're just winging it here, I'd like to take Buddy Ryan as a coach if I can have him. I will also go with Cardinal Dolan from the 2015 Vatican football team. and I'll take Patrick Peterson because he's a good cornerback.
Wow.
So that's, I think that's a successful ending to our pick three for the season. It's a good way to go out.
I think that's actually the end of pick three, like as we know it. That's like we just basically dropped a bomb on pick three. It's forever ruined. We're gonna have to do something else.
We'll figure something out. It'll be a three for all next year.
All right,
I'll say that much. All right. On that note, it's time for our sponsor read. Titletown Sound is brought to you by the Law Office of Christopher Schultz. Christopher specializes in traffic and municipal violations, wills, and estate planning. If you're in need of help, Chris has your back. Call 920-252-0692. That number again, 920-252-0692. And Jeremy, I believe you've written some love poetry to him that you want to read right now, correct?
I did. I've said this time and time again. Chris got me out of a bind. I had a horrible speeding ticket. It was a very, very, very large speeding ticket. He took care of that, went to court for me, went to bat for me, and my insurance rates didn't go up. So that is a win.
That is a big win. All right. On that note, it is time to hear from you guys. Let's go to the Twitter machine. You can tweet us any old time you want at Titletown Sound, including in the off season. You can tweet any old Packer questions you have at us, and you know what? They don't have to be Packer related. Screw it. We'll answer anything. Had a couple quick comments here from at PacFan Joel, who just says Lombardi would have went for two. Any thoughts on that, guys?
I don't. None of us know that for sure. Maybe he would have went for two. The hypothetical is nice. I don't know.
So let's put it this way, because I think this is what a lot of people are asking. Should McCarthy have gone for two after the Hail Mary? I have seen people very vociferously say that's a dumb question. Of course he shouldn't have. And I've seen people as equally vociferous on the other side say, of course he should have. Don't be an idiot. So that leads us to believe that maybe there's a middle ground. I don't think it would have been a terrible choice if he had. I don't think it was a terrible choice not to. He had to assess the way his football team was doing at the time. You know, I know they were 4-for-6 on 2-point conversions throughout the year, but is that the spot he or are they still catching their breaths and saying, hey, let's just go to overtime and win it there? I don't blame him for either choice. And I don't think, look, everybody wants there to be a right answer. Screw it. There's not always a right answer. In this case, it's you're not an idiot for saying yes. You're not an idiot for saying no. But I understand the decision that he made.
Yeah, I feel like, I wish he would have went for two just purely for entertainment's sake, because that game was so good. Like, it would have been so fantastic to end with a 2-point conversion that was successful. After that Hail Mary, like, it would have been great. But what's the
our heads would have exploded.
Yeah, our heads would have exploded. They totally would have. It would have been great. It would have been great to see him go for two. The idea that Lombardi would have done it, though, I don't know that, and neither do you. Outside of that, wish he would have, just for fun. Just because, you know, you got nothing to lose. You were supposed to lose the game anyways. Go for two, win it, and, you know, who knows what the heck happens the next week. I feel like winning the game in that fashion, coming out of Arizona with a win like that, I feel like, I know people think momentum doesn't carry game to game, but that could have changed the complexion of this team.
Well,
in a huge way.
And that's a different subject, but I think they would have been just spent no matter what. With Cobb's injury, he wasn't coming back the next week. They had nothing. Now you can game plan for a team without Cobb. Nah, I don't think they had much left. I think it would have been a fantastic win, and I think that was the toughest team in the NFC, but I still think they probably lose the next week because I think the tank would have been empty.
I don't necessarily agree with you, but just like we don't know that Lombardi would have went for two, we don't know for sure how that would have went.
We do. We know this one. You're wrong. I'm right.
I can actually tell you that I hopped into a time machine earlier this week and went back in time and discovered that Vince Lombardi would have indeed gone for two. And it would have been a double reverse flea flicker that he would have called on.
That doesn't even make sense.
I hate you.
I didn't say it. No one has said it had to make sense. And number two, this is coming from me. You expect this to make sense? Anyway, our next comment comes from at Rusko Packgo, who hashtagged a lot. And among the hashtags, he said, Packer fans are spoiled. Any disagreement on that point? Talked a little bit about it before.
Yeah, we are, but who cares? It's, you know, our reality is a very successful football team, and you know the tools that they have, especially Aaron Rodgers, so you want them to win. So maybe, but whatever.
I know a tool, and his name is Jeremy.
Yes, I am a tool, and I am spoiled. I will own both of those, and I'm okay with that. I'm totally happy with being spoiled. The Packers have, you know, made me that grandchild that has like every video game system that he possibly wants. And yeah, when I don't get the next video game system, I'm going to start stomping my feet. Look, I love watching football. I very, very much love the Green Bay Packers. And I expect that they can win the Super Bowl more times than not. Okay, so am I spoiled? Yeah. Are Packer fans spoiled? Yeah, but I think that's a good thing. I'd rather be spoiled than be a Browns fan.
Fair enough. And I will agree we are spoiled, but we are not past our expiration date.
Nice.
Important difference there. A couple quick questions here. Wayman Johnson tweeted at us, at Wayman7. Want to hear thoughts on drafting a wide receiver? If we get a wide receiver coach, I believe our receivers are second best behind Pittsburgh. 87 and 83, scary. Chris, of course, I have to agree with that because it's Jordy Nelson and Jeff Janis. Some have called Jeff Janis baby Jordy Nelson. I like to think of Jordy Nelson as being old Jeff Janis, but that's my thing. But your thoughts on the Packers drafting a wide receiver?
So I saw his follow-up tweet, and where this comes from is Rob Domofsky saying that he's heard reports that that's a priority in the organization. If they take one late, okay. I don't understand putting any priority on it. Looking, you know, with who you've got coming back next year, healthy in Jordy Nelson and Ty Montgomery, I don't know why it would be really a priority. I just don't see it. You've got young talent to develop. Like I said, maybe take a flyer on somebody in the later round, but I don't think that it's a priority early in the draft at all.
I think the only way that they do that early in the draft is if they feel like Jordy Nelson's knee injury is bad enough that it could ruin him as a top quality receiver in the league.
And there's nothing to indicate that right now, though. They're gushing about him.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's either that. There's two options here. It's either that Jordy Nelson's knee injury, it was so gruesome that they feel like he won't recover fully, or they don't believe in Davante Adams and they're disappointed in him as a previous draft pick, and they feel like they need to recover from that by drafting another one. I hope to God not. I feel like Adams still has that potential to be what we thought. This wasn't the year for him. It was a definite sophomore slump. Let's see what happens in year three. I don't think it makes any sense to prioritize receiver, but as we get closer to draft time, you should stop believing anything that you hear that comes like out of the organization. Stop, because they might want to get out the early word that, hey, we're interested in wide receivers. I don't know why they would do that this early, but I'm just saying, as far as draft stuff, until it happens, I typically don't believe it. How often do you hear the Packers are targeting a wide receiver and then the first or second round they actually pick up a wide receiver? Last year, weren't we hearing about how they were targeting inside linebacker and then they waited and picked Jake Ryan? It just doesn't work out. They say that stuff, it comes out, and it doesn't actually happen. So who knows at this point?
All right. And we have one more tweet from James Corsmo at JKSub20. If Eddie Lacy were a restaurant, which one would he be? Jeremy, I'll give that one to you first.
He would be Hardee's, because the cheeseburgers are ridiculously huge and decently priced, and most of them are covered with bacon. So that, I think, is a solid answer.
I'm going to go with Old Country Buffet.
Yeah, there you go. Buffet.
For obvious reasons.
Yes.
That's a good point. I'm going to go, I was tempted to go with the Milwaukee establishment known as Solly's, because the bottom bun on a Solly's burger is just soaking with butter, and it is delicious. But my official answer is going to be Big Boy. Easy enough. And I'm just going to say for the record, get Eddie Lacy some checkered overalls.
Oh, God.
Hey,
before we move on, yes. Did you guys see the article from Yahoo that was Eddie Lacy's food tweets?
Oh, they're awful. Like,
fantastically hilarious.
Like, Eddie, hire a social media manager or at least some dude to just go back and tweet your old, delete your old I love McDonald's tweets.
I mean, right. Like, all of these, none of these are like, I went to a salad bar and it was delicious. They're all like, I want.
Well, hold on. McGriddles. That's because no one has ever thought, I went to a salad bar and it was delicious.
That's not true. There is a bucket of bacon at every salad bar, and I think that is delicious. First of all, second of all, that when he starts talking about Chinese food, I start to lose it because he calls it China food and he eats a lot of it. Okay? Yeah.
He sets his alarm early so that he can go get McDonald's breakfast on his way into to practice.
It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. I guess I don't know if we had planned to do this for the show or not, but I guess talking about Eddie Lacy's eating habits according to his own Twitter account. Should we be talking about, I think we need to talk about Mike McCarthy's comments about Eddie Lacy when in his season-ending press conference. What has he ever thrown a player under a bus that hard?
I mean, incredible. Really, it's more striking than anything else that McCarthy has said while he's been here.
I've never seen it. As soon as I heard it, I was like, wait a minute. Time out. Did that just happen? He absolutely crushed Eddie Lacy and threw him under the bus and said, basically that everything we thought is absolutely true. He overate in the offseason. He didn't take care of his body. He was playing overweight. He was fat, slow, and unhealthy, and it was all on him, and McCarthy let it all out there. It was fantastic.
That really takes some work, too, to throw Eddie Lacy under the bus because you have to, like, dig a pretty big hole first. And then kind of roll him under the bus.
We're just going with every easy fat joke tonight. Is that how it is?
Pretty much.
Now that we're talking about Eddie Lacy, it just happened. It's just how it works.
But so I don't know if we want to talk about it now, but I guess we kind of are. So I think this is Eddie Lacy's last year, no matter what. I just don't see another option for him. And the reason I say that is because there's two options. Eddie Lacy comes back in fantastic shape, plays the way he's, you know, capable of, and goes into the offseason at the end of his contract, a free agent. Are the Packers going to be willing to expend the kind of money that Lacy wants, especially after Mike McCarthy just stood up on a podium and called him fat to the entire world? Like, is he going to be wanting to sign with the Packers before free agency begins? I don't think so. So once free agency begins, someone's willing to overpay for a running back every year. I don't know why. We always say the position is devalued, but he's still young. He still, when he's on his game, looks fantastic. So I don't think they're going to be willing to overpay him. The other option is he comes back fat, slow, lazy, and isn't ready. And in that case, there's no way the Packers are going to play him, let alone re-sign him. So I don't see much of a scenario where Eddie Lacy is back next year. He's either going to price himself out or he's going to play so, you know, or return in such poor shape that they were not going to want him anyway.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't want to agree with you. I would rather that Lacy plays well, signs a contract, sticks around. I like Eddie Lacy. I like his personality. He's a fun player to watch when he's not 1,000 pounds and running like a freaking tank that is running out of gas. I love Eddie Lacy, but at the same time, dude has a serious problem. You have a profession that requires you to keep yourself in a certain shape, and you're on Twitter talking about China food and sausage McGriddles.
But to be fair, most of those tweets were from college. So.
Oh, seriously?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They dug back that far.
Oh, yeah. Like,
that was not
like
nice. That's just not nice.
Like 2011. Oh, yeah. A lot of these are old.
Shame on you, Yahoo. That is not nice.
It's still funny.
It's funny. But anyway, so Lacy, I hope that you're wrong, but over wide receiver in the draft, I wouldn't be surprised if they were prioritizing running back.
Oh, sure.
Because they know that James Starks isn't going to be a starting running back. They know this. And they just went through a season where Eddie Lacy wasn't in shape, in good enough shape to play his position. He was too fat to play successfully. And they had to lean on James Starks at times, and it wasn't pretty. Starks started to have problems holding on to the ball, which I don't know why. Like, I feel like that didn't get talked about a whole lot. Probably because a bunch of those fumbles he landed on or it was recovered by the Packers. But Stark started to have issues holding on to the football. He wasn't nearly as productive as he is in his role as a backup. I wouldn't be surprised if the Packers start targeting or you know, look at running backs this offseason because, yeah, Lacy's in his final year. Are you going to want to start over with a rookie running back after that year? Or are you going to want a guy who's been with you for a year and he's ready to roll? I wouldn't be surprised if they go running back in the first three rounds.
Yeah, and I will say, Chris, too, I would not be surprised if you're right. I think it depends a lot if Lacy seems to be a different person when he comes into camp next year. I think he could be here beyond just next season. But I think very easily, if he doesn't seem to get it through his head that he's got to change his eating habits and he's got to be more in shape, I think we could be looking at Eddie Lacy in the future as sort of the Ricky Williams of cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
And that's what I think we can wrap that topic on right there.
All right.
On that note, Jeremy, it's time for the voicemail, and that's your department.
All right, so we had a bunch of voicemails, most of them from Libby or Lobby. They were all Lobby because she was drunk for all of them.
Allegedly.
Sure. No, she's pretty clear that she's drinking. So without further ado, here is Titletown Sound Offline, Episode 3.
Hello, no one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
Hi, it's Lobby. I'm calling. I'm going to watch the end of the game with you right now. So as long as your voicemail will keep on with me, I will keep on with you. I'm going to put some water, drink some shots of tequila.
Well, I want to get wasted.
I want to get totally wasted.
I want to get chocolate wasted.
So we're still going to hang out here for the end of this playoff game. Lobby is loving this. But it should be a new segment. Play-by-play by Lobby. All right, here we go. Come on. No, told you we just let him score a first down right now. I am pissed the mother off.
Oh no! We suck again!
Dude, this hurts. This hurts. Oh man. I don't know how to describe this. It hurts so bad.
Everybody hurts.
They had a chance. They made me believe it. It's so bad. It's so bad.
I wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend.
Hey guys, it's Katie calling. The last Arizona touchdown was total OPI city. Peppers was getting mugged. I feel like we got screwed badly. I'll be honest. Defense was unreal at the end. They just totally blew it.
You blew it!
Yo, hey. Packers did the best they can. Apparently they shouldn't have won, but hey, it just happens.
It happens. What, shit? Sometimes.
Hi, show. It's Bobby. I am not a happy camper.
Attention campers. Lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
I thought at the third quarter that we won the game. And then my friend also was like, dude, Libby, we haven't won yet. We have a whole nother quarter of game to play. It was just the third quarter. So that kind of was disappointing. I'm not crying because it was fun.
Hi, Titia. So, Libby here. So we're on to now the season has ended. Okay, so here's what's going on in my life. I have two Miller Lite bottles in front of me, one that's full, one that's half full. So I'm trying to decide the difference between half full and full full, like optimistic, pessimistic. I think I'm totally optimistic because I have a whole full beer and one half beer, which means kind of half a beer full.
It was the greatest beer in all the world.
Here's what I'm looking at. So we have fired our running back coach and our tight end coach. I should apply for that because, I mean, tight ends, I kind of have a degree in that. Richard Rodgers, hell yes. Hey, Fantasy, stop going to alcohol stores and buying bottles of Silver Patron. Silver Patron makes you fat. It's good, but Lacey, lay off the Silver Patron. Love me checking in. I'm two shots of tequila down. I'm here with my favorite catnappers that want to meow for you. And everyone wants to meow. They all want to meow. They're not looking at me because they're meow, meow, meow,
meow. What the hell's going on out here?
But here's my non-packer comment. Julian Edelman obviously has a great dick. And then there is also Rob Gronkowski. If you know me at all, you know my love for Rob Gronkowski. I mean, his family is doing a cruise. I'm going to go and, you know, try and hook up with Rob Gronkowski.
Go, Pack, go!
Oh, dear. Her love for Julian Edelman is, different.
Part of Julian Edelman, at least.
Just one piece. Oh, no, God. Edelman. Yeah.
Okay.
Edelman. I enjoyed making that. Thank you for the people who called into the Sound Off line this year. I look forward to making more of those. Was highly entertaining for me. Thank you. For the stuff that I got to hear, it was very enjoyable. Thank you.
Alrighty, on that note, we got a couple of games we got to wrap up here. Obviously, we don't need to play Fantasy Pick'em or True False for next game because we don't have a next game yet. So, Fantasy Pick'em, again, whoever wins it week by week gets 30 seconds at the end of the show to say whatever they want. And for the final Fantasy Pick'em of the season, there's a couple noteworthy things here. First of all, Chris won this week.
Yeah.
With a fairly close victory over Jeremy. My team, of course, tanked it because I cursed Randall Cobb. I'm sorry. I really thought this week was going to be different this time. I don't know.
I said that I hated you, and I just want to be very clear that I really, really hate you. No, actually, I wanted to say I don't hate you. Those are very harsh words, but at the same time, you should never, ever, ever pick a man that you know that you curse in fantasy. You should never do that. And you
I'll make a note of that for next year.
And he almost died, and it was very scary. Okay? Your fault.
Fair enough. Also, I wanted to make a note here that for the first time all season, Jeremy finished second. Hadn't happened all season, he finally took second place. So that was, I thought that was going to be pretty dang impressive if you went the whole doggone season without finishing second once.
Well, I mean, I took first a lot.
True. So. Actually, and on that front, I do have to say that Jeremy finished with 8 asterisk wins. Chris had 5 and I had 4.
Asterisk wins. That's fine.
Yes. I think it was 7 and then James was subbing for you 1 week. And I think that's what got you one of those wins, but you won regardless. So congratulations, Jeremy. I will applaud for 2 seconds.
If Sam ever sends us the whittled squirrel, that is our trophy. So I'm just waiting on the whittled squirrel to come in the mail. Where is it? Bring it. I need that squirrel.
I think he said he was bringing it to Green Bay next year at some point. I don't know.
Oh, gosh.
I also want to note for the record that if we're looking at what's really important about this game, and that is not finishing last place, I actually would have won that because I only finished last 3 times this season. So just wanted to put that out there. 14 weeks out of the, 17, I think, ultimately we played, I did not finish in last. So I'm slightly proud of that.
Well, like Chris said last week, you are supremely average. So
yes,
you didn't finish last, but you were right in the middle the entire time.
So I'm extremely mediocre.
Yes, you are extremely mediocre. Yes.
Yes. All right. On that note, looking at the true false questions from last week, Chris was holding a nice lead as long as he just didn't completely blow it in this past game. He was going to take the true false title for the season. Chris got 3 out of 5 correct, which pretty well cinched it. Jeremy also had 3 correct. I had 1 correct because, of course, this is not my game, apparently. Even though I write all the true-false questions every single week, and these guys generally don't know what they are until we're doing the podcast. So you'd think I would have an advantage, but no. I have a distinct disadvantage somehow. So we must congratulate Chris finishing. Oh, and I'm sorry, there was actually a true-false before week 1. If you guys remember this.
I don't.
Devontae Adams finishes the season with more receptions than Randall Cobb. One out of 3 of us said false to that and gets the bonus point for that. And that was Chris as well. So, Chris, you finished by my tally with a record of 44-40. So you not only won, but you finished above 500. So
I finished above a random coin flip.
Yes. So I won that. You are slightly better than a monkey, so good job. So that pretty well, I think, wraps up the games, and we're on to our next segment, which I'll call, thoughts on the season. And Eddie Lacy was going to be one topic. We kind of touched on him already, so now I'm going to throw the next subject about coaching changes to you, Jeremy. Are the coaching changes done for the offseason, or are there other moves coming, other moves you think should be made? What do you think?
Yeah, I think there have to be moves coming, at least I hope so, because they got to hire some replacements. Also, not only do they have to hire the guys to replace the guys they just canned, they need to hire somebody who's going to either be a wide receivers coach or a quarterbacks coach. That needs to happen. So the moves aren't done for obvious reasons. They need to make those hires. But other than that, firings, nobody else is going to be fired. The last people to be fired this season have been fired. So I don't know who, I don't know when, I don't know if it necessarily matters or if I should know names of guys who are going to jump in and be position coaches or lower on the totem pole. Because what I assume is going to happen is they're going to move guys up into those positions from lower in the ranks and bring in guys to work from the bottom up.
Breaking news. The Packers have hired former Browns assistant Brian Angelico as tight end coach.
Well, there you go. So I was wrong there, but I do hope, and I'm crossing my fingers, I hope they separate the combo. That's dumb. It didn't work. It's got to go.
And what's worse is it was working so well with the wide receivers last year. So why did we screw with it? Feel like we promoted Edgar Bennett out of his usefulness to a point where he's not as effective. And, splitting that role of quarterbacks and tight ends coach seems to have been detrimental to both position groups. So, yeah, I agree with you. Split that position back up. Let's get somebody in each of the meeting rooms dedicated 100% of the time to those positions. It's okay if they want to meet together at some point, but let's stay with the tradition. It seems to have worked in the past.
Sure. Absolutely. I think I know why they did it. I think they had to cut costs somewhere because Eddie Lacy's room service bills were a little high.
Oh man, the poor guy.
Dear Eddie Lacy, we would love to have you on the podcast someday. Please don't hate us forever.
Or eat us.
Another topic we want to talk about is the window of opportunity closing. Aaron Rodgers is not going to be around forever, and a lot of people have been discussing, is that proverbial window closing? If we can put Eddie Lacy in that area to make sure that the window does not close, that would be great. But I think that's taking the metaphor a little bit too far. So, Chris, is the window closing? And if so, what can be done about it?
Yes, the window is closing. But then again, the window is always closing for any team with a superior quarterback because, unlike Benjamin Button, quarterbacks get older, and every day they're getting older. So, yes, technically, the window is always closing for a team that has a premium quarterback, and that's what makes them great. So for the Packers, they have limited amount of years left with Rodgers, but, we're not talking 2. We're talking 6 or 7 or 8, depending on how long he plays. So when I hear this every year, the window is closing, and it happens just about every year you hear it. I don't think that's true, especially with the way that this team drafts and develops, because I think they've put a solid roster around them. Look at this defense now. You've got to have a lot of confidence going into next year that it's going to be really high quality. You know the receiving core is going to be better. If they can shore up the offensive line in a couple of other areas, how can you say the window is closing? How can you say the window is any more closed next year than it was this year? I just don't see that as truth. I do see that, yeah, you have to get something done before Rodgers turns 40, but look at Tom Brady. There were times when they went through not playoff droughts, but Super Bowl droughts, and people may have asked the same thing, is the window closing? It still seems to be wide open in New England, even though Brady's, you know, like 40 years old. So I expect that Rodgers' window is long, especially if they can just keep him protected with that offensive line. So I think the true answer to that question is no, the window is really not closing, not yet.
I can always count on you to bring a logical answer to a ridiculous question. No, the window's not closing. I mean, it's not closing fast, but like you said, it's always closing. Could it close faster? Sure. I mean, if Rodgers got hurt, then panic. Like, if Rodgers is done for his career, then you could panic about windows closing. But Aaron Rodgers is still healthy, still plays football, and he's still pretty darn good. So we can be patient as far as windows closing. We can maybe calm down a little bit. But I will say this. I love Ted Thompson. I am a big fan. I think he is one of the best GMs in the league. But I am growing very impatient with his lack of personnel moves outside of the draft. What happened in the regular season this year, all the injuries that they experienced, the tight end group being as bad as it was. I understand that if guys are on the street during the season, there's a reason they're there. But I feel like it's not even an option. So Packer fans don't even really have on their radar who's on the street when they're on the street, because they don't even think that it's going to happen, and it never does. Like, those guys never get looks from Ted Thompson. And I feel like the one complaint, the one knock against him, and the one knock I have against the Packers is that when, like, at some point, next man up can't be the answer. You have to start searching elsewhere. Especially the tight end group, I think, is the biggest one, because at one point this year, all you had was Richard Rodgers and Kennard Backman. Backman didn't, I think he played like, I can count how many snaps he played this season on one hand. It's frustrating to see a group be that decimated and to not have Ted Thompson even blink. Now, he had added Justin Perillo to the roster, and Perillo had a couple nice games, which was great, but I just feel like maybe there were possibly options out there even before the season started. I liked Scott Chandler. He ended up signing with the New England Patriots, and he was cheap, and he's a red zone threat. And for a team that struggled in the red zone, now hindsight's 20/20, I understand that, but a team that struggled in the red zone could have used a giant tight end like Scott Chandler, and he was freaking cheap. So those things are starting to drive me nuts a little bit. I know that we don't do the free agent thing. I know that the draft is primarily the route. I get it. It should be. I totally agree with the idea that it should be primary. But you got to look elsewhere sometimes for personnel. And Ted Thompson just refuses to do so.
All right. Well, on that note, I think we are down to our last segment for the show, really. And it's the 30 Seconds of Glory segment. And Chris, you're the most sane of the three of us, so I think it's fitting that you get the final 30 seconds of glory for the 2015 season. So
it's not saying much, but I'll take it.
True.
So what I would like to talk about this week as our last one of the season is, I want to say to the Buffalo Bills, congratulations, thank you. You finally have done something that no other team is willing to do, and that's hire a woman as a permanent coach. We know the Cardinals had Jen Welter as a kind of a coaching intern, and that was a great step forward. But Catherine Smith has now been promoted by the Buffalo Bills as their special teams quality control coach on Rex Ryan's staff. Rex Ryan, generally a goofy bastard, but congratulations to him for getting it right and seeing past what a lot of people out there can't see past. And I would say read about this woman, Catherine Smith, who's worked her way up through the ranks of the Buffalo Bills. She's been there for like 7 years. But do me a favor when you do that, don't read the comment section, because you will, your faith in humanity will be destroyed. But there's nothing to say that a woman can't be a quality control coach, can't be an excellent coach in the NFL, and you know, almost any coaching position. She's going to be doing a lot of self-scouting for the team, a lot of reviewing of film, and from all accounts, she's a great football mind. And it's just refreshing to see that we're finally breaking down some of those barriers. There's no reason for them to exist. Unfortunately, there's still some attitudes that have to be changed in the general public. But, you know, we get enough hires and enough teams that come to their senses like this, and those opinions will change.
I just want to say, though, the vocal majority is not necessarily the majority. Unfortunately, the rest of us sane people stay quiet while all the idiots get on their comment sections. But yeah, it's great. And I'm glad that you used your 30 seconds for that. That is pretty fantastic. I didn't know where you were going. When you said Bills, I was like, what are we about to talk about?
Rob Ryan,
yeah. But Rex is a guy, yeah, he's a little bit crazy, but he's a guy who's got the stones to take that step and say, I don't give a crap. I'm going to do this because I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
So good for Rex. He's a coach that I like Rex Ryan. I just think he's entertaining. But yeah, Bobbo, you were going to say, you got something to say before we end the podcast?
Well, I do you want me to do my shtick? Is that what you're asking me?
No, I'm asking if you got somewhere else you want to go.
Oh, no, I find it interesting Chris ever thinks that I have any faith in humanity whatsoever, but that maybe that's just me. But no, I'm ready to rap if you are, man.
All right. Well, I used to be in a rap core band when I was a sophomore in high school. It was absolutely terrible. So I don't know if rapping is a good idea, but I will end the podcast. Thank you for listening to Titletown Sound for the 2015 season. We had a blast making this show and interacting with you guys through Twitter. The Sound Off line, which is still live, you can call it. I don't know how often I'm going to be making Sound Off line stuff, but I will definitely give it a look. So thank you for listening. Thank you for giving us time in your ear holes. And thank you for not turning off the podcast the second you hear Bobbo's horrible intros. thank you for putting up with our silly games and all of our shenanigans. It's been a good year.
We should say we will be around in some form in the off season, maybe not quite as frequently, but we're going to keep a presence. So don't think this is goodbye until next season. Unfortunately for you guys, you aren't lucky enough for that.
No, we're still podcasting. Maybe a little bit less. We don't necessarily have a podcast scheduled coming up, but we will have one for you. Let's say within 3 weeks, there will be another podcast. So with that being said, Bobbo, you got anything to say before the podcast is over?
I would like to say I am going to do my very best to provide draft information before the NFL draft. And I'm hoping, Jeremy, you and I can get together to watch the NFL draft again this year.
Absolutely.
That's always good times. And so I'll do my best to be on top of that for you fine listeners out there who put up with us, put up with me all season long. I would also like to say, don't forget to pet your cat. And I guess as my last little tidbit that I'd like to say for this season, Titletown Sound, can we talk back?
We all hate it.
Yes, we can.
You're the worst. You were so much the worst. Just ridiculous. All right, Chris, you got anything to say to end the podcast?
I do. Good night, sweet Prince Janice.
Good night, sweet Prince Janice. Good, you know, enjoy your hibernation, sweet Prince Janice, and prepare for next year. All right. Thank you for listening. We'll bring you guys another podcast as soon as we think of things to talk about. You don't know when, but we'll bring you one.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see. Our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Card.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.